song we just sang this morning, I think, is a perfect expression of what God's plan is for each of His children, but also for us as we gather as a church. This is what He would long to characterize us as a congregation. I met a man just before the service started who has a background similar to mine, an Orthodox background. We have people in our church who have Catholic backgrounds, Protestant backgrounds, evangelical backgrounds, charismatic backgrounds, and every other stripe around. And people have often asked me, what is it? How can Christians from all these different backgrounds get together in one place and not be fighting? Because sometimes we fight out there. How come we're not fighting here? I think this song says it all. We're not here for a particular denomination. We're not here for a particular style. We're here to get to know Jesus Christ. And when our lives are tuned to Him, it doesn't matter what background we come from, we're automatically tuned to each other. Amen? I think that's the wonder about this congregation. I must admit, I absolutely love it here. People say, when did you get here? I got here, I came for 2 years, 9.5 years ago. And God will have to call me back to Canada. I love it here. One of the reasons, the primary reason I love it, is because what I see God doing in this family, in this church family. This time of year, every year, we take a service and dedicate it to saying goodbye. Goodbye to people who have been here and are on their way out. And there are many of you who are leaving between now and the end of August, and many others who will be coming in. We had 3 or 4 new families in our first service. We have some new ones already in this service. We call this the Church of the Revolving Door. People coming and going all the time. The average stay, somewhere around 3 years. People come. I met somebody this morning who will be here for 10 months. Others of you have been here for longer. But the average is about 3 years. And so we see this cycle going on. People coming and going, coming and going. I remember when I first got here, I said, Lord, what in the world do you want to do with this particular congregation? All over the world, of course, God has His purposes for His people, for His church, and those don't change. But how that shows itself in each location changes because of the dynamics. And I said, Lord, what do you want to do at Mahdi Community Church? And the Lord gave me a vision. It was more a word picture from the Bible. Some of you have heard this before, but I just remind you. It goes back to Judges chapter 15. The Lord took me there, and it was a story of Samson, one of the judges of Israel, when he was battling the enemies who were fighting the Israelites. And in order to get back at them, what he did one day, time is he caught 70 foxes and he tied their tails together with rope, and between the two of them put a lit torch. And then he let them out into the fields of the Philistines and burned up their cash crops. And I'm going, okay, Lord, what in the world does that have to do with church? And as I thought about it, it was the Lord was saying to me, you have no control over the fact that people are coming and going from this congregation. It's not stable like a church in our home countries where you pretty well have the same people for 10, 15, 20 years. And it hit me a couple months later when I came through my first May-June experience here in 1992, and I watched about 22 of our families leave that year, and I almost died. I thought our church family was falling apart. Because back home, if we lost one or two good families, it was devastating to the church. We have to try and figure out who's going to fill their hole. And 20 families are leaving. I thought, Lord, this whole thing's going to fall apart. And that's when the Lord brought into sharp focus this vision that He gave me. We have no control over the fact that people are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. But the Lord said, Dave, you do have a choice as to how people will leave. And I want Mahdi Community Church to be a place where, no matter what brought people to Egypt, they will leave, whether it's after 10 months or after 10 years, they will leave with the fire of God, not tied to their tail, for goodness sake, but tied to their hearts and tied to their minds. That people will leave here transformed by the life and power of Jesus Christ. And it has been so exciting to watch over these years. It was happening before I got here, of course, but I've been able to observe it happening since I've been here, to see how the Lord does that in people's hearts and lives while they're here. Many people come to Egypt not knowing the Lord, or thinking they know Him and not really knowing Him, and they discover Him here. I've had so many people say to me, how ironic that I would leave my country, which I thought was a Christian country, come to Egypt and find Jesus. But people find Christ here. And then many of you who have already known the Lord before you came have discovered freshness, newness, aliveness in Jesus. You have stretched in your understanding of Him. You've stretched in your experience of Him. You've stretched as He's used you in ways that you never thought possible. And it is so fun to watch people who are leaving because, not just because the contract is up, or not just because something has opened up elsewhere, but they're leaving with a sense that God is taking them on with the flame of God's truth and love. That's what it's all about. There are many who are leaving this morning, or over the next couple of months, and we want to acknowledge you. But I've asked two of you, if you would just come up, Jeff, come on up, Jeff, and Kathy, if you guys would come at this point. These are two who have been here for a while, and I've asked if they would briefly share with you some of what God has done in their hearts, in their lives, while they have been here. And it's been exciting to watch the growth in their lives and how the Lord has used them. And if they would just share briefly with us a bit of that insight. Kathy.
This sounded like a good idea on Wednesday when Dave called, but I'm reconsidering at this moment. We were first encouraged to come to services here at the church by our daughter, Culling. Her involvement with the youth group had fanned the flame, and she thankfully shared that light with us. I have always believed in God, but I have to admit that I had not really believed He had a personal interest in me. Developing my very own personal relationship with Christ is the greatest gift I have received, and it has been this community that has shown me how. I am now sure in the knowledge that there is not one thing I can do to earn salvation, but that it is mine for the asking. And though there is no way to earn it, there are responsibilities for accepting it. One of those responsibilities is to be a contributor to the body of Christ. Without each and every one of us sharing our gifts, we are all diminished. This has been a point of struggle for me. Where was the sign, the voice, telling me what I should be doing? What great thing was I supposed to be doing? I have come to realize that it is not only the grand or conspicuous contributions that keep the body of Christ growing. A simple smile can be the turning point for growth. I know now that God speaks to me every moment in a voice that often sounds much like my own, and I am learning to listen more carefully. I ask you to share this challenge with me, and that when you hear that voice, just do it. I feel today like I know the seniors feel, nervous and downright scared about the challenges ahead, but ready to try out the lessons learned against those new challenges. I leave with a heart full of gratitude for the privilege of being part of this community, and I thank each and every one of you for it.
After listening to her comments, it makes me think of what I was going to say and what I thought about, what I prayed about the last few days of coming up to talk with you. Ann is gone. She left at the end of February. Monty Community Church has had a tremendous impact on us. Every time I talk to her, she talks about greeting the people that she was intimately sharing the Lord with, and she misses everybody here, and I've had the opportunity to be here a few more months and have had the opportunity to share with the people that we were both involved with over this time. Monty Community Church has been a blessing to us. I remember actually a colleague that I worked with talking about a church that he went to and about how comfortable he felt going to that church, and it felt like the right place to them. And I wasn't quite sure what he meant by that, because I knew a little bit about the church, and it didn't seem like the people were being very challenged there at the church. And I think that's not the case here at Mahdi Community Church. I've sat in the chairs out there, and I felt uneasy many Fridays at Dave's preaching, and I've been challenged to step out. And I think that I thank the Lord for Dave. I thank the Lord for Bill. You always wonder what's, when you have a new pastor come in, what the situation is going to be like. The commitment of these men and their families that stand behind them, to lay out what the Lord has on their heart, sometimes in an unpopular way, but in love and doing what the Lord is asking them to do is an inspiration to me. And just as the previous speaker said, each one of us, the Lord's trying to talk to us. And I think that every Friday, every day, the Lord is asking us to serve Him, whether it's in our jobs and whether it's a high visibility job or something that nobody will ever really find out about. I think that He's asking us to be faithful. One of my favorite songs is the song by Ray Bolt, "Thank You." And I think maybe that there'll be a day when we'll find out that even those little things that we did, that where we responded to the Lord in faithfulness, you know, we'll find out. And, you know, God bless each one of you. I pray that you'll be called and that you will answer. And looking out over the crowd, it's just, this is what heaven's going to be like, I'm sure of it. Because so many people from so many backgrounds, and yet, as Dave said, there's not fighting and bickering going on here. It's people that love the Lord. Thank you for being a part of our lives.
I'd like to ask all of those of you who are going to be transitioning out of here between now and the end of August, if you know that, if you would please stand at this time. Give us some sense of how many are leaving. Obviously, this time of year, our numbers are already sliding down as people are involved in different ways on the weekends. But these are those who know they are leaving to different places. Why don't you just call out to where you're going and when, the date and the place. We'll start back there. Lib, you can start us off. Okay, loud enough so we can all hear, please. Next. Yeah, just the place and the time of when you're leaving. Okay, to Spain for the summer. Okay, in June. Okay, next. Helga? Oh, sorry. Okay, back to England. Yes? 16th of June, back to Norway. Okay. And on this side, yes. To the States in July. Korea in June. Holland in July. Korea in July. I'm sorry? To England. Okay. That's beside Korea, isn't it? Your pastors need geography lessons. Holland at the end of June. In the middle of August to Indonesia. In June to Brazil. Okay, Sunday to Colorado. Did I miss anybody on this side? Okay, over here. U.S. in June. England, July. Texas in July. July to Scotland, July. July to Texas.
June 13, U.S.
Okay. Thank you. Saves my repeating it.
Okay. 2 weeks, U.S.
July. China. All right. Okay. Anybody we missed? Okay. If you please stay standing. We want to pray for you as you go and trust that the Lord will continue to equip you for all that's ahead. I would wonder if you're standing or sitting near somebody who is standing, if you would mind on our behalf as a body just standing near them and perhaps even reaching out and putting your hand on their shoulder, whatever, and let's surround these people and pray for them as they leave us. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the way you in your sovereignty assemble us from so many nations at this place. And we have enjoyed deep friendships. We have allowed you and watched your Spirit draw us to Christ and build us up in Him. And now some of our numbers are going. They're leaving us to move on. Lord, we thank you that as painful as this is for us in the parting of relationships, we thank you that it is your divine plan for taking your life and your light beyond here, to spread the flame, to spread the fire, the truth, the love of Jesus Christ. We pray for each one of these who are going, Lord, that you would continue to build their lives, continue to keep them from the damages and ravages of sin in their own lives, and continue to keep them walking with you, allowing your Spirit to flow mightily through their lives. We pray, Lord, that you would use them in the drawing of many, many others to Christ and to the building up of other lives as they go to other places. Thank you, Lord, for the investments they have made in our lives and in this fellowship, and we pray that their gifts at this place will be blessed and multiplied for those of us who remain. But Lord, we ask your richest blessing on them as they leave. May it overflow into every aspect of their lives. We trust them into your care in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you folks as you go. Having had the chance to work in church ministry for most of my adult life and also do a lot of reading, I can attest that I wish that all churches all over the world were alive and vibrant and on fire. That's not the case, unfortunately. There are many places in the world, such as Africa, Southeast Asia, and the Middle East, and South America, where the church is growing faster than the population. It's exciting days for the church. There are other places in the world where the church is in decline significantly. But in all these places, there are churches that are genuinely alive and some that are simply holding their own and others that are in the death throes. And you have come here and you're here this morning as part of this church. I simply want to ask you this morning, what kind of church do you want to be part of? We try to set out the vision for what we believe God wants us to be here at MCC. What's your desire? Do you want to be part of a church that is genuine, alive, and on fire? I'm not talking about a style. I'm talking about the dynamics of the Spirit of God working in our lives. Is that what you'd like? Thank you for answering back. How many of you were here 4 years ago? Oh, quite a number. My rough guess, I'd say probably 20%. I'm bad at numbers, but that would be my quick guess. So it gives you a feel for the flow of this congregation. So about 20% who are here were here 4 years ago. That's kind of the flow. Those of you who were here may have heard this before, so bear with me this morning. It's for the rest of those, and a refresher for you. I heard about a black preacher in a black African American church who was talking to his congregation one time about what kind of congregation they wanted to be. And in African-American churches anyway, in many of them, there's a unique flavor where there's a dialogue happening between the preacher and the people. It's not just a monologue like many of us are used to. It's a back and forth. And the preacher will ask a question and people will answer. And the preacher will often say things and people will say, yes, preach it, brother, go for it. Or they'll add to it. It's quite an alive and dynamic location. If you've never been to a church like that, go. It's great fun. Great experience. But this particular pastor was preaching to his church one day and talking about their need to move as a congregation, to get going for the Lord. And he said, you know, the church can just be standing. We can be moving nowhere. And we stand and we don't move simply because of apathy. He said, I don't believe God wants us to just stand still. I believe God wants us to walk. How many of you want the church to walk? And one brother said, let it walk. Let it walk. And the other congregants joined in. Let it walk. And he said, well, if the church is going to move from standing to walking, we have to move from apathy to involvement. And people said, let it walk. Let it walk. And so the preacher said, well, how many of you want it to just walk, or how many of you want the church to run? And he says, a number of people, let it run, let it run. And so he said, well, if we're going to move from walking to running, we have to move from involvement to commitment. And people said, let it run, brother, let it run. And so he said, well, how many of you want the church to fly? And people said, let it fly, brother, let it fly. And he said, well, if the church is going to fly, then we've got to move from apathy to involvement, from involvement to commitment, from commitment to sacrifice. And somebody said, let it walk, brother, let it walk. You know, we dream, I think, all of us dream inside of being part of a congregation. Because you know why? Because we dream of heaven. God has placed within us, deep within every one of us, a passion, a longing deep at the center of our being to be with Him and to know Him, as we sang this morning, to know you and to be wrapped up in your life and to be red hot in love with Jesus. God has built us that way, and so we have this longing to be that, to experience that. And when we do, when we get touches of it, something comes alive inside of us. I see it on your faces when I hear testimonies, when other people are talking about the Lord doing things. It's visible sometimes. Something comes alive. We all long for that, and yet there are obstacles in the way of getting there. We want it, but sometimes it's just more comfortable to stand or to walk or maybe even to run. But fly, nah, I don't know about that. Let it walk. One of the obstacles that is prevalent all around the world, most of the studies have been done in the Western world, but I have traced it other places, and it's prevalent other places too. It's the 80-20 principle, or sometimes it's called the Bell's curve of involvement. And what that means basically is that in any organization, and it's very true in the church, and it's very true in Mahdi Community Church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And the other 80% of the people pitch in and fill in with the other 20% of the work. It also translates into the financial realm. And I checked this week with our treasurer and found out it's almost to the percentage exactly. 20% of the people in this congregation give 80% of our budget, while the other 80% of our congregation give 20% of the budget. And but what was interesting is, as I probed and asked a couple more questions, I discovered that not only do 20% give the lion's share, which makes up 65 giving units in our church, 65 families, so there's about 320 families that are making up the other 20%. But what was really interesting was of that, of those 65 families, 12 families, or 12 giving units, gave 50% of all of our traceable income. Now that boggles my mind. Not so much because of their generosity or their capacity to give, but in terms of what it means for the rest of us. Now I realize that in a congregation like ours, we have a broad spectrum of incomes. And I'm in no way implying that giving more amount is more important to God than giving less, because Jesus very clearly made it clear that the widow's mite, the little that she had, was more than the guy who put in out of his wealth. But the principle, the 80-20 principle, does hold true. And it often holds true in our personal lives as well. And that becomes one of the major obstacles to the church going from standing to walking to running to flying. And I have to admit, through all of my life, I have wondered what it would be like for a church to defy that 80-20 principle. What would it be like for a church, a body of believers, regardless of how large or small they are, for a body of believers to say, you know what? We refuse to let the status quo shape how we're going to live. We refuse to stand by the principle that governs how other people operate. We are going to choose to move from standing, to start walking, to start running, and with God's help, start flying to the glory of God. What would happen if an entire congregation decided to live that way? I don't have the answer, but I have the longing. And my hunch is that deep in your heart, you have the longing too. I asked the treasurer where we were at financially. Actually, it came across the email this week because it was a red flag alert. At this stage, we are 20% below budget and going into a summer, which is a high spending, low income kind of time for our church. And that actually translates to a $43,300 deficit right now. Now, before you get scared, let me give you a little reminder of something for the 80% of you who weren't here 4 years ago. 4 years ago, we were in exactly the same position, except we were Exactly half. Our congregational size was about half of what we are today. And the deficit that we were facing was almost exactly half of what I just mentioned. We were just about $22,000 at the time in debt as we approached the summer. And your leadership team prayed about it then, and we brought the need to the congregation, just as I'm doing to you. And as we presented it, the congregation rose to the occasion, and within 2 or 3 weeks before people cleared out of here, we had something like $33,000 given above and beyond regular giving. Not only eliminated our deficit and provided funds for the summer, but also set a pattern for the congregation. And I watched it as a pastor over the next number of years, as that congregation kind of kept on growing and moving, we rarely had to talk about funds. It set us on our feet financially. Our ministries began to get staffed in the fall, and it's like we leapt into a new level. We were no longer standing or walking. We were indeed running. That was exciting to watch. Some of you were here, and you remember those days. But it seems like because of the cyclical nature of our church, here we are 4 years later, and we're back to the very similar situation. And so I feel you, as the family of God, deserve to know that information, and that's why I'm presenting it to you. For those of you who are here, it's your first service, or you're here for only a couple of weeks, you think, did you always talk about money at this church? You know what? You probably have not heard about much money at this church, and the reason is because of the faithfulness of God's people. I would love for us to never have to mention it, simply because we're getting on with what God wants us to do. But I present that to you this morning for your information, for your prayer, and I do want to challenge you to do what God puts on your heart. I heard years ago about a story about money heaven. You know, we talk about dog and cat heaven, and we talk about all these different things. Did you know there's a heaven for money as well? When it gets all beat up and torn up, it dies and goes to heaven? You're saying, where did you get your theology? It's a story, okay? It's just a story. But in money heaven, there were these worn, torn up bills who'd lived their life fully, and they were talking and sharing their life stories. And the $100 bill was saying, you know, I had a fantastic life. As a matter of fact, it was hard to kind of let go and come to heaven. Man, I have been to the best resorts. I've flown on the best airlines. I've eaten in the finest restaurants. I have had an absolutely wonderful life. But, okay, heaven's good too. The $50 bill said, well, I didn't have it as good as you, but I had a good life too. I've been to some vacation spots, and I've eaten in some good restaurants, and had some great taxi fares and some wonderful experiences in life, and I'm happy to be in heaven too. And the $20 bill said, well, you guys, I'm really glad to be in heaven because it was okay on life. I got down to Arby's a couple times and, you know, went around, and we had some good experiences. We had occasionally, but I'm really glad to be in heaven. And they looked over at the $1 bill, and he wasn't saying much. And they said, well, what about your life? And he says, well, you wouldn't really be interested. And he says, yeah, we are. What about your life? And he says, well, I'm really glad to be heaven. Because you see, on earth, I had the most boring life possible. Every single time, over and over and over, it was, go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church. Oh, some stories have a bite, don't they? Why do we give our pocket change to God and give our best to the world? If God is who He said He is, then He deserves our absolute best. Amen? If we want to move from standing to walking to running to flying, then the Lord says, come along, my children, come along. Jump in and let me take you. Let me take you. I believe the Lord that wants to continue to do that. Another misconception that people have, especially when they come over here, is their involvement in our church versus their churches at home. And let me simply tell you two stories which I think will clarify it. Although you, in terms of membership, you can keep your membership at home and still be a member of this church. That's because we are a church in transition. In terms of involvement, we trust that you'll jump in with both feet while you're here. If you went for a meal after the service down to your favorite restaurants and you got in there and you realized it was just packed, jammed to the doors, it was a very popular spot, everybody was eating there, you waited in line, you got in there, you had your food, and they brought you your bill and you said, you know what, I'm not going to pay today, you've got a lot of other people, a lot of other customers, so I won't pay, and walked out. I'm not sure what the management would think. On the other hand, if you walked in there and you said, I really enjoyed the meal, but you know what? This really isn't my home restaurant. You see, my home restaurant is back in another country. So I'll just enjoy the meal, but I'll pay back home. Again, they're stories, but I believe the Lord wants us to be involved, to be all there wherever we are. Keep our ties. But if God has you here for 5 months or 5 weeks or 5 years or 50 years, be all there. Get involved with your life. Get involved with your heart. Let the Lord build you and fire you up to become all He wants you to be. And let Him use you. Dear friend, God has so much more in store for your individual life, for your family, and for our church. And we have just seen the beginnings of it. So how many of you want the church to stand still? How many of you want the church to walk? Good morning. We're black church this morning. How many of you would like the church to walk? How many of you want the church to run? How many of you want the church to fly to the glory of God? Amen. Let's ask the Lord to enable that to happen in our hearts. Father God, thank you for the awesome privilege of being here. Thank you for the awesome privilege of sitting right beside people from other continents and countries and denominations. People who aren't like us at all, but people who love you like we love you. What a blessing. What a foretaste of heaven. Father, I ask that as we stay here together, for however long it is, I pray that by your Spirit you would continue to draw us to Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate glue for humanity. I pray, Lord, that you would pull us together in a unity so tight that we will not even notice our backgrounds, not even notice our denominational tags, but that we will simply grow to love and reflect you, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we do pray specifically for the needs that face our congregation as in this cyclical turnover. We pray for the ministry needs that need to be covered, the many CE workers that need to be replaced for the summer and for the fall, and for all the other ministries that will be needing new personnel to fill the holes of those who are leaving. We pray specifically, Lord, for this financial need that is facing us. It's big. It's big in and of itself. But Lord, I pray that you would place on people's heart this morning whatever you want them to do. Lord, please do not let this be in any way a manipulation. Let it be by your Spirit that you are moving among people's hearts and calling forth whatever you want to call forth. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll just simply give us the desire to follow through on that which you are saying. Lord, we know that as we do that, as we all plug into you, our head, as you give us directions, then the whole body will be coordinated automatically to itself. And so, Lord, we are here this morning saying, take us. Let us not just stand firm in you. Let us walk with you day by day. Let us run with your Spirit. Indeed, let us fly as the wind of your Spirit carries us along into all that you have in store for us. For those who are going, bless them immensely. For those of us staying, pour out the fullness of your Spirit, and may we experience and become all you want us to be. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Our closing song this morning.